The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be a one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated.
Good morning.
Do you know that much of what we do is for money? Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? We get up in the morning, we go to work, we do all kinds of things for money. We sell our services in time. We sell our talents. We get up in the morning and we do all of these things because we need money. Money is what makes the society work. It drives society. And many of us are very fortunate, perhaps, because some of us will not just get up in the morning to go to work, but some of us will be able to go and invest in stocks or in bonds. Some of us will be able to put the money that we have into high-yielding interest accounts. Some of us may even buy a business. So the idea of having money is something that drives our society, and we need it. Let's be honest. We need it for rent. We need it for our homes as mortgages. We need it for clothing. We need it for food. We need it to raise our children. But the question is money the only thing that we can live for? Is money the only thing that helps us to go on? And this is where Jesus' story comes in today, because he's trying to show the difference of a higher principle that we can need and we need to live by. Because many of us, and it's true, maybe some of the younger folks, maybe not, get caught up in money. A lot of our young people will say, I want to be a rich guy by the age of 50, right? And by the time I'm 50, I want to be able to retire and have money in the bank, and I want to go and travel. These are the things that maybe some people really believe in, and they give their life to this, and they're all their energy. And so the gospel reading today is trying to challenge that, trying to say, is that the only purpose for our being? Is that the only reason why God has created us? And Jesus uses a simple analogy to talk about this. He talks about sheep. And he says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, of course, when things get bad, his job basically is to take them to have water and to eat, and then to put them in the fold at night. But when things get bad, and let's say the wolves are coming, he decides he needs to split. He wants to get out of there because he doesn't want to be harmed. And this is a person who is hired to do a specific job. But the owner, let's say the owner of the sheep, is willing to fight the wolves off, is ready to fight for the life of the sheep, even at the expense of his own life. Why? Because the principle in which he operates is a little higher than just profit. The principle in which he works on is love and devotion. And this is what the Gospel of John is trying to show us, where Jesus, who is the Son of God and has the power to give his life and take it back up. And in John, you get that kind of language, because in John, Jesus does everything on his own. He's not being dictated to by circumstance or by doctrine or anything. Jesus will lay down his life and he will take it up again. And this is why the Father loves him. And this is why the Father has commended him to us, to teach us a new way of living and a new way of relating and a new way of understanding how we should serve our lives with each other. I mean, a lot of the things we get caught up in, we get caught up in how to manage our lives and the amount of hours that we have. And let's be honest, some people work 2 to 3 jobs, don't they? And by the time they get home, what do they have time to do? For some of us, a lot of time is spent in front of the TV. God forbid Fox. Drinking a six-pack of beer, or watching something on television and being told what to feel, being told what to buy, being told how, and shaping the values that you have. A lot of people don't have enough time because they're so tired working so many hours that they don't have time to reflect, they don't have time to be creative, they don't have time to go out and explore the world, much less educate their lives in a different way. And so we're kind of stuck. And people do that only because they care for their families. But you know what? The sad thing is, when you finally raise your family, do you really have a family left? Because if you spend so much time working and trying to support your family and you're never home, by the time you retire and you stay home, the kids are gone and the wife doesn't want you there. The wives, I feel sorry for the wives. They don't want their husband to be retired. They go do something, get a hobby, get out of here. Don't stay in the house, you drive me nuts. But the idea behind all of that's going on is, what is the principle by which you live? And it's not hard for us to get stuck in this principle that we want to make money, we want to be successful, we want to be good in what we're doing. But the problem is, and I think the real fundamental issue here is, what does it give you in your own existence? What does it give you as a person? You know, you hire yourself out, and this was one of the greatest problems in the Industrial Revolution. Do you remember when we started all these factories and people started to leave their homes and started to go out and work, and they would come back and they would be tired? And a lot of times the husband who would teach his son, let's say, how to, you know, shoot a bow, how to get a rabbit, or how to fish, he was so tired he didn't do that. And so there was a disconnect between the father and the sons. And it kind of disrupted the family connection. It disrupted the tradition that was passed from father to son or mother to daughter. And so all of this Industrial Revolution, what it did is it pulled us away from relating to each other and becoming automatons and becoming facts and becoming things that produce. And that in itself reduces your identity. That in itself reduces your ability to say, I am a man, or I am a woman, I am a child of God, much less, because what I do is I produce things. What I do is I work on an assembly line. What do I do is I fix a carburetor. What do I do is I sell ice cream. What does that do to your image? What does that do to yourself? What does that do to your understanding of who you are and the value that you carry? A lot of people, after they go to work, they're so tired they don't want to deal with anything. So Jesus is talking to his people, his disciples, and those around him saying, look, there's another way to live life. There's a way of living life because there's lots of things you can do that you cannot pay the price for. There was a missionary group that went out to one of these third world countries. And what they did is they went to visit one of the little hospitals. And when they were walking through the hospitals, they noticed it was kind of dirty and dingy. And they saw this nurse quietly working with this patient, you know, didn't look up. This patient had a very bad infection on his leg. He was afraid to go to the doctor. And because he didn't go to the doctor, he became infected. And it stunk. And it was just a horrible sight. And she's there lovingly doing her work. And so one of the visitors was looking at this, and he whispered to the other guy, he says, you know, you couldn't get me to do this for $1 million. And so she continued to work very quietly, and she says, neither would I. Because she was doing it much more than for the money. And you see, there are people in our environment that do things that really don't get the respect, they don't get the pay. How many of you know all these teachers that are going out on strike, right? I mean, Kansas, Kentucky, recently Arizona. So they're going out because they're getting paid so little. And you say to yourself, where is our society thinking when you don't pay a good teacher, but you pay a baseball player or you pay a big executive all this money? And you say to yourself, what's going on here? A teacher has the mind of a child all for 8 hours and is able to teach the child how to respect, how to have character, how to be caring, how to have virtue. And yet they pay them so little. And so you ask yourself, as you look at society, where are the priorities here? What is important for us to put our money in? And what is important to elevate the society as a whole? Is it just sports, advertising, and alcohol? Or is it education? Or is it medical care? Or is it you know, good housing for people? This is the thing that I guess we can apply in our environment today if we listen to what Jesus is saying, because you couldn't pay Jesus to give his life. That's what blew everybody's mind when he came. He wasn't paid to do this. He did this on his own, and he did it to show us a way to be with our lives and to care for each other without necessarily looking for a profit. Many of us will do that, you know. We'll help somebody out, and in the back of our minds we'll say, well, they owe me, right? We don't admit to that. No. We don't admit to that, but that's the truth. A lot of us will think maybe they owe me a favor, maybe they owe me some kind of opportunity to pay me back. How many of us do these things for selfless reasons? How many of us can do it just for the sake of that other person? How many of us think in that way? How many of us live in that way? That's the issue today, because a lot of us don't live that way. We live to make money to take care of our own. And once our own are taken care of, that's all that matters in our life. We don't care about anybody else. And that's not the gospel message. The gospel message is that everybody is your brother, everybody is your sister. You should care for those who are not only immediately around you, but in a larger environment that you're part of. So Jesus is saying the sheep, when everything is going on, the shepherd, when everything is going okay, he does his job. Do you ever see like one of those security guys? Maybe I'm just gossiping today. I feel like I'm gossiping. Do you know the security guys that work in those shopping malls? How much do those people get? Come on, let's be honest. What, $8, $10 an hour? And you think that guy's going to jump in front of a guy who's carrying like an RA-15 is going to steal something? You think he's going to jump in the middle of that? No, he's not. He feels like a thing. He's just symbolic. And this is what the Industrial Revolution has done to us. It's made us symbolic. It's reduced our ability from being a man and a woman to a thing. A thing in a cog of work that moves around. And we feel alienated from our work. We feel alienated from everybody else. Alienated from ourselves and from God. And the message today is saying that, no, there's another way of doing this thing. And this is with the intention of doing and reaching out to the person in true love. How many nurses do they work and don't get paid? How many doctors do they work and don't get paid? How many parents do they work and don't get paid? This is valuable work that you do. And this is the kind of work that really, really puts the foundation in society and in each of us, that raises us up beyond this contractual relationships that we have with everybody else. You know the quid pro quo? I do this for you, you do this for me. This is the basis of society. This is not the basis of the gospel. The gospel is that you do it because you love God and you want to serve God. It's a heart of devotion that we pray for, an ability to look at people and see the Christ light in them and be able to care for them and feel free. The other thing, if I might throw it in, is a life where you renounce things. Have you renounced anything lately outside of chocolate during what we call the Lent period? Do you know renunciation is a very good discipline? We don't speak about it much unless we talk about the mystics. But renunciation is, what is important in my life and what can I do without? Why do I have to have 25 pairs of shoes? Why do I have 14 suits? Why do I have 3 cars? God, I envy those guys. But why do I have to have so many things? Why can't I just have the things that I need, the little food to eat, the friends, a good time together, a nice walk, maybe a good Merlot? Those simple things. Why have we become so materialized that we feel as though we don't have enough? And this is where we live, and this is how we think, and that dominates us. That clutters your ability to be free. That clutters your ability to let the light of God into your life and the moments of God to be exposed in your presence. We're so concerned about having enough in the bank account and having enough in the 401k because we think security is that. We think security is in the dollar sign. No man will live by profit alone. This is not our life. Our life is not about profit. Our life is not about security in other things except God himself, except in the presence and in the Spirit of God. It's a hard message for us to remember, but we get bombarded every single day with, you are what you have, you are what you own, you are what you can put in your bank. And this is contrary to your nature. It corrodes your soul. It clutters your spirit. It throws you off. So Jesus is talking about the good shepherd. He says, I lay my life down because I love you. Can you imagine? Just because he loves you. But laying down his life means that he respects you. Laying down his life means that he values you, that he believes in you, that he sees more in you, that he's capable of raising you up into a bigger and better person than you are now. Can you do that for somebody else? Can you lift up another person simply because you love them, simply because you see the goodness and potential that they have? Or do you see them professionally or maybe just doing some specific kind of work? And they could be very good. I'm not criticizing work. I'm criticizing the attitude of work, the attitude with which we do our work. That is the key. Because if you do your work with love and with devotion, then what you do is holy. Then what you do is sacramental. Then what you do is communicating the love of God to each other. But if you do it as quid pro quo, give me this and I'll give you that, the world becomes a thing and people become objects in this world. And you miss the divine and you don't see the holy and you miss the numinous in the moment. Does that make sense? I mean, what do we have to do to see God in our life? What do we have to do to touch the holy? We have to see it first. We have to recognize it. We have to open ourselves to it because you know what? It's never not there. It's always there. We're not here. We're elsewhere. Because our minds are caught up with all kinds of things. And so Jesus reminds us, the good shepherd will lay down his life, not for a profit, but for love. Not for pretentious reasons, not for religious, pietic reasons, but for the truth of why God comes into the world. Once you get that, then you see that God loves you no matter what, and you can live a different life, a life that is animated with the divine, saturated with beauty, and somehow touched with the essence of God. The mystic touches life and it glows. You ever touch something and it sparkles? When was the last time that happened to you? The last time you touched something and it glowed. You know why? Because you weren't present when you touched. You weren't there when you touched the face of a child and saw it light up. You weren't there when you kissed an older person that, and their eyes loved you back. You weren't there when you extended some help to somebody and saw them become alive because they were once again made human with your attention. This is what we can do. We can resurrect people around us. We can bring life back to a dead world that is so caught up in just functioning and being part of a system and not being the human driving element that lifts up the world and makes it holy. This is what we need to be reminded of. You are a child of God. You represent God in this world, and what you do matters. What you do will elevate and bring forth this wonderful message that God gives us, that God loves us all. He loved the entire universe that he gave his son. But you know what? His son gave himself because he wanted to give himself. And so let's try and see how that makes sense in our lives. Can you do it a little less? Can you do it a little less in your life? Try that. Last week I told you to try talking to each other about God. I don't know how far that went. But can you try a discipline? See within your areas of life what you can give up. What do I really don't need? And what can I incorporate, which is more? Time with my husband. Time with my friends. Time with my children. Time alone with God. Read the scriptures. Pray. Chant. Meditate. Do the if you will. Do whatever. But be focused, be present, be here, be now in your life. A lot of us are not. And this is what Jesus is reminding us, that your life is where he is. But you've got to be there first. Amen.
Amen.